Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. During the week, we talk about apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. We do rebuttals to anti-Catholic videos on YouTube. But on Fridays on the podcast, we just have fun. We talk about whatever I want to talk about, and it could be anything. We cover a pretty eclectic range of topics. So just if you're stopping by for the first time, just so you know, this isn't a regular feature of the podcast, but it's just a fun thing to do on Fridays because it's Friday, right? We're at the end of the week. We're tired. Just want to go into the weekend. So I just want to have a little bit of fun. And what I want to talk about today is something I noticed while I was watching a documentary. I was on the plane coming home. I was doing a talk in, I think it was Alexandria, Virginia, actually. I gave a great nice talk out there on the issue of transgender identity. If you missed it, by the way, check out my video at the beginning of the week, The One Question Transgender Advocates Can't Answer. It was kind of worked out well that I was working on that video and I was invited to give a talk on transgender ideology. So on the way back on the plane, I watched a documentary because I'm always trying to figure out what do I watch when I'm on planes going back. I mean, there's only so many times that I can watch Air Force One, which I love that movie, by the way. Get off my plane. And, you know, other movies that'll pop up on airlines and things like that. So what I saw was a documentary on the NXIVM cult. The NXIVM sex cult. NXIVM is spelled in the show and the organization. NXIVM is NXIVM. I guess it's supposed to be like Latin or something like that. I remember hearing about this a few years ago. The NXIVM cult. This guy Keith Raniere got these women to be brainwashed to be sex slaves, and it's a really gripping documentary. I didn't get a chance to finish it on the plane, so I got home. And my wife and I, we purchased it on Amazon to watch. And if you watch it, by the way, I would say that it's a, you know, there's two documentaries on NXIVM. This is the one on Prime, Stars Media, and the other one I think is on HBO. It's graphic content. I think it's done well, but there's certainly graphic content related to violence and sexuality and sexual violence. So, you know, just be warned if you're sensitive to those things. There's parts that I even had to fast forward. I was like, oh, that is too much to handle. So I watched it and I noticed that this particular cult used a tactic to lend legitimacy to itself that I have noticed other shady operations use. And so what is that? And I call it the celebrity hustle. Okay. So I'll just briefly describe what I'm talking about, then I'll show how it applies to NXIVM and then to two other examples today here, this celebrity hustle. So I would say the celebrity hustle is when you get a celebrity, you trick one celebrity into endorsing your broken, shady, bad quality or illegal thing that you're doing. You get one celebrity in. And then you use that celebrity to con another celebrity, and then it kind of forms a domino series. And as human beings, we're so gullible sometimes. We fall for celebrity endorsements. You know, it's like, oh, this celebrity likes it. And so much so that celebrities think that when they give us their opinions on politics, like, you should vote for this guy because I'm voting for them. Sure, I trust your judgment because you know how to make music and you know how to be charming on camera. You obviously know about politics, but that's what's weird to me with human beings, that if celebrities entertain us, we let them get away with almost anything. Now, here's an interesting one. Like, I'll talk to a lot of people who don't like capitalism, right? And they will be so mad that there is a CEO that makes, say, $30 million a year. And a lot of the people that work for him make minimum wage. And they'll say, I can't believe this greedy CEO makes $30 million a year. And these people are slaving away under him for minimum wage. But then I rarely see these people get mad that somebody like Robert Downey Jr. could make $30 million a year as an actor, or an NBA player could make $30 million a year playing basketball. They don't, even though the people working for them probably also make minimum wage too. What about the catering guy at on Avengers, or the janitors at the stadium where these NBA players play. They're making minimum wage, but nobody gets mad about that because they're celebrities. Because we love celebrities. We treat them. People get this weird kind of celebrity worship, and they treat a celebrity almost like they're a member of the family. I mean, I get that. I feel that way. Remember, I did the Free For All Friday. What was it? Last week, 2 weeks ago, on the TV families we grew up with. And, you know, you get an attachment to these individuals that you don't get to the CEO who sits behind a desk running a company, even though that CEO generates more wealth and jobs than these actors or NBA players. Well, there's Trent being a boomer again. Yeah, well, I guess I can't help it. So that would be the celebrity hustle. And I will talk about three instances where I've noticed this being used, where you get a celebrity and you use that endorsement to acquire other endorsements or cooperation. And suddenly it looks like there's a lot of celebrities who like this, even though they may have no idea what they've gotten themselves into. Nexium will be one of them. By the way, this is also confusing because I think there's a drug called Nexium. I feel bad for the drug makers. They're like, let's put out this new drug, Nexium. I want to say it's like an antacid. It's something I think to do with digestion. I don't think it's like an antidepressant, but it's called Nexium. And you know, you come up with the names of these drugs, you think, oh, I'll just give it some weirdo name. It couldn't possibly be offensive. Then you find out there's this Nexium sex cult. So let me give you a little background on Nexium. Watch a documentary. It's super interesting. It says Nexium was an American cult engaged in sex trafficking, forced labor, racketeering, while claiming to be a multi-level marketing company. Based in Clifton Park, a suburb of Albany, the group claimed to offer personal and professional developmental seminars through its executive success programs. The company is widely described as a cult and was shown in court to have been a recruiting platform for a secret society called DOS, in which women were branded and forced into sexual slavery. In early 2018, Nexium's founder, Keith Raniere, and his associate, actress Allison Mack, were arrested and indicted on federal charges related to DOS, including sex trafficking. Raniere, he ended up getting 120 years in prison for what he did. And it's crazy. They branded women. They scrambled their brains. They made them think that being a slave was awesome. They were like confined to these homes, not with chains, but with psychological warping of their minds. And also there was racketeering. There's money crimes that were involved. So Raniere got 120 years. By the time, let's see, I'm recording this video. I think tomorrow when I'm recording this video, Allison Mack is going to be sentenced. She could get 40 years unless her sentencing date gets postponed again. And what was really interesting about Nexium was that you had this actress involved who was getting other women to be these sex slaves, Allison Mack from Smallville. She was, what is her character name? Chloe, I think. So when you watch this, you think, how could people have been duped into this, though? And it's not just the people in DOS and the sex slave part. There were like 15 or 16,000 people in the Nexium program that would take these classes. They would spend tens of thousands of dollars to take courses and to learn from Keith Raniere, who they was like, this guy's the smartest man in the world, and he is just an absolute creep and a narcissist. But who could fall for this stuff? Well, what Nexium did was they got wealthy people to be brought up into the top. They conned the Bronfman sisters, Claire and her sister. These were the wealthy heiresses to the Seagram's company fortune, the Seagram fortune. And so they bankrolled probably like $100 million into Nexium. And with that money, they set up a group called the World Ethical Society, World Ethical Foundation. And they spent $1 million to get the Dalai Lama to come to New York and give a talk and to take pictures of the Dalai Lama with Keith Raniere. And so suddenly you have what is called social proof, right? So you have social proof. What do you, people want to say, oh, why would I care about Nexium? What are you doing? Show me the proof it works. Show me the proof this guy is all he says up to be. Well, here's a picture of Keith with the Dalai Lama. Oh, wow. Well, the Dalai Lama, he's great. And you all these people who praise the Dalai Lama who don't even know what the Dalai Lama teaches, probably. Although nowadays, China has its teeth into so many areas of Hollywood. There's very few people who are going to praise the Dalai Lama. Look at John Cena. He went on TikTok or whatever. I think it was TikTok, of course, because it's owned by China. And he apologized for what he said about Taiwan in Chinese. What a putz. You probably saw that on the news. So you get pictures of the Dalai Lama. And then that gets Richard Branson from Virgin Airlines. And so other people are like, oh, this is great. And they start taking the courses because the Dalai Lama likes it. It's got to be good. And then now he's got pictures with these famous actors, Gerard Butler, Rosario Dawson shows up to these things. And then people think, and then they start getting other wealthy people to take the courses, move them up in it. And it's very similar to Scientology. I'm not going to talk about, I'll save Scientology for another episode, for my last episode, because then you'll never hear from me again after criticizing Scientology. Don't mess around with Scientology. They play for keeps, but maybe for a future Free-for-All Friday. And so NXIVM uses similar tactics to Scientology. You start off with just this typical psychobabble, personal development courses. Then they get dirt on you through little confessions you do. So they have collateral. Scientology does this also, where they do auditing sessions. Where they try to, it's like counseling, but they keep a record of all the bad things you've done or embarrassing things that you confess and use it as blackmail in case you ever try to go against the organization. All right, so that was NXIVM. Let me give you, here's the second example of the celebrity hustle in action. This is not for a cult. This is for the creation of a movie. Probably one of the worst movies out there. Absolutely one of the worst. It is terrible in quality. It is, sometimes I'll say here when I talk about movies, I'll use the USCCB's rankings of, morally offensive. This goes beyond morally offensive. It's morally disgusting. Don't watch it. But it's an interesting case study in how celebrities can be conned. So the movie is called Movie 43. And I'll read you a little bit of an excerpt from an article at crack.com talking about Movie 43, because it's a disgusting, gross-out film. But what's interesting about it is the big-name actors who were conned, basically, into being in this movie. So here's the article. At the risk of sounding hyperbolic, Movie 43 is a comedy that is every bit as funny as Mass Genocide. A loosely connected series of gross-out vignettes lambasts one of the worst movies ever made, somehow managed to convince a shocking number of respected actors to humiliate themselves for very little money. They pay these actors like $800 a day, 2 days. You pay, and here are the actors. Hugh Jackman, Terrence Howard, the first War Machine. Gerard Butler, Kristen Bell, Halle Berry, Uma Thurman, Emma Stone, Naomi Watts, Kate Winslet, Richard Gere. And they are in the grossest, weirdest sketches. How would something like this happen? Which, by the way, this genre is an interesting genre of comedy. Because I remember when I was in high school, one night, it was when we did New Year's. We all got together in high school to celebrate New Year's Eve at a friend's house. He was a fifth-year senior who had his own apartment. So he was like, he was 19, had his own apartment, had his own job, and was going back through school again to try to graduate. He was a super fun guy. We all liked him. He just didn't try very hard at school. I think in one of his math classes, the reason he had to repeat a grade was because he got like a 3%. To me, actually, that's kind of impressive that you would get a 3% in a class. I understand zero, like you just never did any work or tests. But to get a 3, like just to do something and then never try again, it's almost more impressive. So we went over the New Year's, probably like 2001, 2000. It was 2002, I think. And we watched all kinds of weird old movies after midnight until like 6 or 7 in the morning. And one of them was an old film called Kentucky Fried Movie. And this was like a gross out comedy vignette, just a series of short sketches put together in a movie. I think it's from like the 70s. And so Movie 40, and that's another morally disgusting one. Don't watch that. Movie 43 is along this kind of line. So how did they do it? So Charles Wessler was the producer of Movie 43. And it says here in the article, Wessler spent years assembling the all-star cast for his zero-star film. First, he met Hugh Jackman at a wedding and got him interested in the project, probably after Jackman spent too much time at the open bar. To fill in, Jackman was told, hey, you want to do like a really zany character in a movie and you only have to, it's only 2 days of shooting? And for a lot of actors, it's like, oh, so it's like a bit part. It's like, okay, I want to do something fun and I want to stretch myself, do a role I haven't done before. And so they got Jackman in, and he was involved, and then he was in and he did it. Then they kept bugging Kate Winslet to do it. And then so Jackman was able to get Winslet in, and now they've got them to do their scene. And so now that they have Hugh Jackman and Kate Winslet doing a scene together, Wessler can go to all these other celebrities and be like, hey, you want to be in Movie 43? It's only 2 days of work. We're doing this ensemble thing. Hugh Jackman's in it. Kate Winslet's in it. And as soon as people hear that, it's like, oh, well, it's got to be good. Hugh Jackman wouldn't wouldn't lead me wrong, would he? So then other favors were called in. It says here, Richard Gere explained that the only reason he did the movie was because Wessler is the godfather of his stepdaughter. Though Wessler waited a year for Gere's shooting schedule to open up. These guys were persistent. They were absolutely persistent. That what they would do is to say, you know, the actor will say, oh, I'm busy, I can't do it. Okay, whenever you are free, we can do it. And they keep calling and haranguing. Are you free now? Are you free now? Yeah, I'm free for a day next week. Great, we'll bring the cameras and we'll do it. So they worked around everyone's schedule and it came together, and it is just such a weirdo, bizarre, gross movie with all of these big name actors in it that most of the actors refused to talk about it, that they had been duped and brought into this movie. In fact, there's a whole bunch of stories about actors who were pressured or tricked to being in movies they didn't want to be in. X-Men Origins Wolverine is an example. Like, that is a movie that is so bad. It's such a bad movie. I was so grumpy after I saw that movie because I was the kid who grew up in the 90s with the X-Men animated series, and I loved it. And I liked the original X-Men from like the year 2000. X-Men Wolverine had, you know, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Ryan Reynolds is in it, and he plays Deadpool, the wisecracking, the merc with the mouth, Deadpool. And it's a horrible depiction of Deadpool. Not faithful to comics at all. It's just terrible. And they told Ryan Reynolds, if you ever want to play Deadpool in the future, you have to play Deadpool in this movie. And he agreed. And gosh, that poor guy. They even told him, like, if you ever want to be Deadpool, you got to be in X-Men Origins Wolverine. And then if you ever want to be Deadpool, you have to be Green Lantern. And that movie was an absolute stinker. And so I'm proud of Ryan Reynolds that he finally got to be Deadpool. You know, good for him. All right, here's the last one of the celebrity hustle. And that would be the Fyre Festival. You've probably heard about Fyre Festival. If you haven't, there are two documentaries, one on Netflix and the other on Hulu, talking about Fyre Festival, F-Y-R-E Festival. If I had to rate them, they're good documentaries. They do have some morally offensive elements to them. I've only seen the Netflix one. There's some morally offensive parts in it. They're brief, but just be warned. I don't remember nudity, but it's more like crude discussions of sexual acts and things like that. So some of you may be familiar with Fyre Festival. If you're not, here's what it says. Fyre Festival was a failed, fraudulently marketed luxury music festival founded by Billy McFarlane, CEO of Fyre Media Incorporated, and rapper Ja Rule. It was created with the intent of promoting the company's Fyre app for booking musical talent. The festival was scheduled to take place in April and May on the Bahamian island of Great Exuma. So what happened with Fyre Festival? So Fyre Festival was... Fyre Media came up with an app for booking musical talent. So to promote the app, they said, hey, let's do a huge music festival. And the original plan, and it's cooperating with Ja Rule to do it. It's murder. Good old Ja Rule. And they're supposed to, okay, we're going to have this huge party music festival. It's going to be Woodstock of the Bahamas. Originally, they were going to have it on Pablo Escobar's private island, the famous drug runner, drug kingpin. And it was going to be like this amazing time with food and musical acts on a tropical island, private, all to yourself. And so then you have luxury villas, and it was all marketed in this way. And Billy McFarland is like this fast-talking, sociopathic narcissist that thinks he can just do anything. And so he did this, and they got... So where the celebrity hustle comes in was... They got a bunch of Instagram influencers, people like Kendall Jenner from the Kardashian clan, Bella Hadid, Emily Ratajkowski. They get these very famous Instagram models. They go and make a video of them on an island in the Bahamas, cavorting around in bikinis. Like, this is going to be the party of your life, music, and look at all these beautiful Instagram models that are going to be here. And then they paid, it's alleged that they paid, people like Jenner and others, to promote this on their Instagram feeds. Something like $250,000 for one post. And suddenly tickets went like crazy. Now, some people thought that these were the only people who rent were other influencers who spent like 12 or 30 grand to go. Actually, I think a lot of the tickets for this event were like 1,200 bucks, food included, villa included. So it wasn't actually that bad of a deal. So the problem was selling tickets for like, there was like a few packages for like 100,000 bucks, crazy. Most people just spent like $1,200. And McFarlane didn't have enough money to pay for everything that needed to be paid for. So people start getting suckered in. They, oh, these Instagram models are for this and backing it. They must be great. So they people start signing up, right? And other celebrities sign up to promote it. Then as it gets closer to the event, people realize, wait a minute, this is all falling apart. All of the musical acts pull out at the last minute because they realize it's going to heck. The group does not get permission to host the event on Pablo Escobar's old island. Instead, you have to go to Great Exuma. And in the promotional literature for the event, it showed where the party was going to be and made it seem like it was an island when it was actually just the tip of a peninsula on the island that it was already, essentially, it was like the backyard of a Sandals resort, you know, the not so great area. The luxury villas were FEMA tents that couldn't keep the rain out. The food, well, they put pictures of the food online. It was like cheese sandwich, tomato, slice of cheese, and two slices of bread. And the people there couldn't leave, really, because they couldn't get out of the airport. And people had a nightmare of a time. McFarland, later in October of 2018, was sentenced to 6 years in prison in order to forfeit $26 million for the fraud that he committed. But it was impressive that he was able to con so many people into this. And you start with the celebrity hustle. You just get a few celebrities on board. Once you have them, draw, rule the Instagram models, then you can get all the others to fall into place until the house of cards collapses later. Well, that was Free For All Friday. Fun to share with you all. I hope you all enjoyed. And I hope that you'll definitely check us out next week for more great content. Be sure to support us at trendhornpodcast.com. And I hope you guys have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trendhornpodcast.com.